Now broadcasting the webcomic beacon.
Hello and welcome to episode 136 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, and we are hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics hosting site and community at rampagenetwork.com. I'm Fess of fessworks.com, and with me, first, actually, is Tanya Higgins of daisiesandshit.com. Welcome to the show.
Hello, hello.
And we have Tardy Mark Savory of autumnlake.com. Welcome.
Hey, what are you talking about? I was on before noon. Hello.
Tanya was here first.
Well, every now and then you got to throw the girl a bone. You know, let her show up first.
Oh, don't, you, the jokes are so
everybody
easy.
Needs to, everybody needs to have a winning day once in a while.
Just... All right. So when is Mark's? When is your character Mark going to have his?
Well, probably never.
So you're a liar.
Well, everybody but Mark. That's the winning day.
Oh, dear.
Well, alrighty. Let's see here. This week, Mark, actually, I think you're in charge.
Hello. No, go ahead, Josh. You're doing fine. Go ahead.
Oh, come on, Mark. Oh,
that's fine. What happens when you schedule a guest. Fess just tosses it over to you with no warning or anything.
Oh, what do you mean, no warning?
That's what worked for me.
That was the plan.
Well, this week we have Adam Huber of bugcomic.com with us, which is awesome. Hello, Adam.
Hello.
And how are you?
Mark, you're...
I got to work on my intros. I know.
Mark, you're a little quiet.
Don't use us as an example.
There we go.
No,
pretty
never.
Bad.
Really for anything.
Anything at all. If you have not read Bug Comic, then you're a ninny. But if on the chance that you haven't read it, this is a really awesome newspaper-style comic strip. Adam, why don't you tell us a little bit about your comic?
You know, I was actually trying to think about, like, I was like, oh, I think they're probably going to ask me to describe a comic, so I should probably think of how I would describe it. And I was like, just random nonsense with bugs. That's the best way I could put it, you know?
It's interesting. It does have a... It's something I can't identify, but it there's something Dilbert-esque about it. There's something Far Side-esque about it. I guess
if I would have to compare it to something, I would compare it to like Matt Groening's Life in Hell, where would have like a little very simple drawings, but he'd pepper the little his. Of course, he did like a big, huge, a big. I don't know, what was it 9 inches by 9 inches square? Just fill it up with like drawings and jokes and stuff. But it's kind of in that vein, that kind of random humor, and we just kind of pepper jokes, you know, throughout the whole thing, rather than have the typical 1-2-3 setup and then punchline at the end, you know.
Yeah,
there's something, maybe a little Sergio Argones in there. I probably mispronounced that. Argones, is that right? There's something in there. It's absolutely wonderful because it's like a. It's like a scattershot of jokes through the whole thing, and they all seem to tie together at the end.
Yeah, which sometimes I kick myself, like, God, I wish I would have started a normal strip. Because sometimes writing this thing is a... Can we swear on this podcast?
Oh,
sure.
I almost...
Oh, it can be a real bitch sometimes to write this thing.
Oh, that's
barely
hardly
swearing
swear,
for
yeah.
us.
Well, I wasn't sure if you guys, your audience was like just the family group. You know, they all sit around with the little kids and mom and dad, and they turn on the old radio. And
we crossed that line.
The dolls they have vaginas now
crossed that line many episodes ago. Episode 69 was like the last chance. And there's no going back after what happened on episode 69.
If we're on the radio, you could say we're on the Blue Network.
All right, good.
No, it's good. So you mentioned that, you know, sometimes you wish you'd gone for the intro setup punch. What do you do to get the scattering when it's not coming? Does, you know, do you have any particular method to push the muse?
The only thing I've found is I have to leave my apartment. I find I can never write when I'm at home. I always have to go for, like, usually a long walk will jostle something loose, you know. And there have been some nights where I go for a walk, come back, got nothing, leave again. You know, I'm constantly walking out trying to find that joke that's somewhere outside somewhere, you know. And so, yeah, sometimes there have been nights where it's like, you know, I have to draw tomorrow's strip and it's like 11 o'clock at night and I don't even have a topic to play with, let alone any jokes to come up with. So
if the comic doesn't update, we should assume that you've been mugged, is what
you
mean.
Yes.
Okay. It's good.
I am mugged and somewhat relieved because, hey, I don't have to draw, you know, today's comic. I think they'll understand, you know. It's like, well, I have an excuse. I was mugged.
I don't think hey, buddy, I've got another $5 in my other pocket. You might want to mug me again.
I don't think I could do that. I think it was like, no, let me go. I got to update my comic.
I think, I would just let it happen. I just close my eyes and hold my arms out and just wait for it. You know, just...
Oh, well, that explains a lot right there. Okay.
But if I'm lucky, I'll come up with something early in the morning. I mean, a lot of times where I get my ideas, I'll listen to, like, NPR, you know, or I'll go on MSN. I'll just start to go listen to anything that would, any kind of talk radio that would just kind of throw out subjects, just random subjects. And I'll eventually, if I'm lucky, my mind will pick one subject or one line or one sentence that they're talking about. I'm like, ooh, there's a joke right there. I know I can make, you know, 3 or 4 jokes out of that, you know. But if I don't come up with something, if the muse is just me walking around Madison looking depressed.
All righty then. Madison where?
Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, well, that explains the depression right there. Do you know that there's more serial killers per capita in Wisconsin than any other state?
Hey, I do now. Thanks.
There you go. You should stop this left-hand walks. That's all I'm saying.
No more nighttime walks. Oh, my goodness. How did the ideas?
What are you talking about? Well, people might just be avoiding him if he's walking around muttering what bugs are going to be talking about.
Actually, that would be awesome if I looked like a serial killer, that people would just leave me alone. But no, I think I look more victimish. I got the glasses and the svelte frame. I just look like.
I don't know. You should take it. I did a long study of serial killers, oddly enough, and
Well, it's always the normal looking guy next door. Yeah,
it is. It's always the normal looking guy, the guy that looks a bit like he might have a slide rule at home.
But now, we didn't invite you on the show so that we could conduct a sting operation and bust you.
But the problem is, no one crosses the street for the slender guy. No one crosses the street for the big Harley looking biker guys. You know, the troublemakers. No one crosses the street.
I find that with girls, they don't cross the street for me. They cross the street, but it's going the other side. You know,
sweetheart. I found as I was reading through Bug, because I actually hadn't run across it until Mark mentioned it. I found that it seems like a mutter to yourself writing kind of comic. Like, I can see this big running conversation that leaked out of my brain, and that's it was unfortunately relatable, perhaps.
Your brain's leaking.
Oh. Yeah, a little bit. It's funny. It's good stuff. I was impressed.
Thank you.
I like how, even though it's sort of random, or it could be random, it's the last panel ties everything together.
That last panel is always tricky because I've written several where it's like, you know, I get the first three panels. I'm like, I can't just do a fourth crap joke. It's got to somehow wrap things up. It's somehow got to put that little bow at the end. And the coda. I got to. Sounds like I'm really complaining about my comic, like, doesn't it? It's like, oh, it's a bitch to write. No, I can't. I walk around at night.
We all do that. I'll tell you about mine sometime if you got
bring tissues.
It's tragic.
Well, I notice you actually do have a cast, but they may not be fronted. I mean, no one of them, well, I guess Bug himself, but you know what I mean? There's no particular star necessarily. They're just sort of there to. Does that make sense? Or?
Yeah, which
scan has been completed.
Ow.
Well, that's good.
I'm sorry.
What the hell was that?
That was Avast, my antivirus program. It just.
Scan has been completed.
It tells me things once in a while.
Scan while you're on the podcast.
It does it by itself.
Well, you can shut that off. I have a Avast as well.
It's never popped up before like this.
See, mine just pops up to say.
It's never happened to me before.
This has been updated. Okay.
Maybe there's a bug in the system.
Segue. Oh,
there's a groaner.
All right, go on.
Tell us a little bit about the cast of the comic here.
Well, the cast definitely was unintentional. My original idea was just going to be just that little bug and no mink. And, you know, to me, it wasn't even the bug. It was just a bug. I'm just going to draw whatever I can think of, and I'm just going to throw a little drawings of little bugs in there. And eventually got to the point where I was like, well, okay, I need to actually show a girl in this panel. And I did think about, like, well, maybe it's the bug with the bow in the hair. I'm like, nah, I'll just do a little hairdo there. That's the girl bug. And then and the bug with the glasses, which is actually, it's kind of fascinating in a way how he unintentionally, I never intended him to become a character. He just kind of morphed into this thing where it's like I needed to show that. I need to go back and find out which strip it was, but there was some strip where I needed to show that, you know, there was person A and person B, you know, and I needed to make sure, you know, made him make sure that you knew which was which. I was like, oh, I'll just give this one glasses, to hell with it, you know, I'll just give him a little prop. And then slowly I kept pulling him back, and like, I'll use him, you know, I need another strip where I need to show that there's two different, you know, which bug is which. And eventually he became this antagonist. Eventually he became like my go-to bully anytime there's a jerk, you know, it's just that guy.
Or a scientist or a...
Yeah, yeah. If he's smart or a jerk, he's got glasses on. yeah, the cat... That's,
or just the one?
Well, I mean... Sometimes I draw bugs with like... If a bug has a sunglasses on, he's either the FBI or he's Joe Cool, you know? But my original idea was that there was absolutely no main characters. There was no cast or anything. It was just going to be just pretty much that bug just multiplied whenever I needed him. But over time, it's slowly kind of turned into. I don't really have a name for him. Some people call him Nerd Bug or Glasses Bug or Bug with the Glasses or whatever. But
you don't have names for them other than
no.
Then you get too attached to them, and then you know, you don't want to.
That's true. I could see that. It's really like an improv ensemble.
Yeah. Well, it's supposed to be. It's kind of an idea I had for a previous strip where it was going to be, or I had like human characters, and I was going to do basically like sketch comedy where I'd introduce a group of characters, I'd tell a few jokes, like several days worth of jokes, and then I'd abandon those characters and move on to someone else, you know. So there'd be no main characters, I don't give anyone names. It's just I just throw out there whatever I need and, you know, just create whatever characters I need for those jokes, and then I would just get rid of them and move on to something else. So it's kind of an idea that I had from a previous trip of like no main characters, no names for anybody, you know.
See, that to me sounds painful to write. Because it's so much easier to sort of lean on known personality traits.
I have all the crutches in my comic. But this seems like it would be very liberating in a way to.
It is. It really is like a double-edged sword. I mean, it's nice that I can do whatever I want. I can go wherever I want. I'm not tied to any theme or character or storyline or anything. But at the same time, yeah, I mean, this is the only strip I've ever really drawn that didn't have, you know, most of my strips have always had main characters, and you draw them long enough and you begin to hear their voices in your head. You know what this character would say. You know how this character would react to something. All you got to do is think of a subject or an idea, and you throw it at your main characters, and you know how everyone's going to react. And it just kind of, the strip kind of writes itself, you know.
That's so, what I do.
Yeah. Well,
just because the characters may not actually have names per se, I mean, it's not like they still have at least a sort of personality of
you know, you got the one with the hair, you got the main one, you got the glasses, you got at least three sort of protagonists, and I'm pretty sure you kind of somewhat keep a personality between each of them, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the main bug is pretty much is usually me in some way, even though I wear glasses. I don't know. The typical answer is they're all shades of me, you know, in some way or another.
I think,
you know,
a lot of people do that.
But like every female bug, the girl bug is every woman I've ever known. It could be, you know, a girlfriend, a coworker,
mom,
my sisters. It could be anyone, you know. Yeah.
Poor mom. Don't throw mom in.
The way you lay this out, it's very much a newspaper style.
Mm-hmm.
Just black and white, no color. Just very, very simple. How did you decide on that for a strip?
That was kind of a decision from a couple of factors. One, I always saw the bug as a black and white character, black face and white belly and black arms. You know, so to me, he's always that. You know, adding color to him, it didn't really mean anything. If I added color, it would just be to the background. So, I liked the starkness of it. That there is no color. That it's just kind of bam, black and white. Also, there is a part of me that thought, well, this will keep printing costs low when the time comes when I make a book. All the interior artwork is going to be black and white. It's not going to be any color or anything in there. So I was like, well, that kind of that didn't totally make the decision for me, but that helped me decide, like, yeah, I'll just do black and white. And there's some strips like I said, Life in Hell was all black and white. And I got a big book of these old comics from like the 1920s that I flip through, and I look at some of the stuff that they did with black and white, and it's like, boy, color's so unnecessary. If you know what you're doing, which I don't, but if you know what you're doing, color is very unnecessary. You know, if you can really make black and white do amazing things, you know. So I kind of like the idea of just that simple that simple black and white aesthetic, I guess.
You want to
very traditional too.
You want to go into it? You want to go into it? You really want to go into it?
Oh, God. Fast, shut up. No.
there's two ways to do black and white
actually very well. And one is, you know, like you're doing, where it's very simplistic. You know, you look at Happy Noodle Boy by Jonan Vasquez, and color's not going to help that at all. And, you know, like you mentioned, Matt Groening stuff. And then there's the, you know, intensely complex, you really have to be a good artist to pull off this black and white kind of thing. And yeah. I've always been partial to the simplistic black and white comics. And I always feel sort of cheated when they add color to them, because it seems like they're attempting to add quality. You know, it's like, ta-da! There's color.
It's like on the TV shows now, where if they want something dramatic, they just turn off all the lights, and they have like really black, dark sets everywhere. You know what I mean? Like CSIs and stuff. They just turn all the lights off. That's how they make it look.
Serious. We're serious now. There's no light.
There's a right and wrong way to do black and white, and there's a few right ways and a few wrong ways, of course. I have noticed that as black and whites can get away with not having backgrounds more often than a color comic or a comic that's colored doesn't. Yeah. Particularly like in Bug. Like the way you do a Bug, it's like, you know, like how newspaper black and whites, you know, they don't necessarily have a background. Because
less necessary,
well, you know, because
and they're so small now.
Well, yeah,
they don't have room to draw.
It's not entirely necessary for the delivery of why the comic's there, and that's the joke. But there are black and white. The ones that I really get upset about are the black and white comics that look like they're just missing one more step, and it basically just looks like a bunch of outlines waiting to be filled in. And they have some background stuff there too. There's no solid blacks or anything. It looks like it's waiting to be just bucket fill, bucket fill, bucket fill.
Like Little Orphan Annie's eyes or something. You just you want color in them, but they're not there. It wasn't finished.
Quit making fun of blind people.
But she's not
blind. Orphan Annie wasn't blind.
Sleeping lizards.
What are you talking about? She has no irises or pupils.
No, she doesn't.
So she's blind.
What?
Tell me how she can see. She's using sonar detection.
There are days that I just want to give up.
And right now we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back. Well, I don't know. I have no segue.
Have news, questions, comments, or advertising inquiries? Transmit them to webcomicbeacon at gmail.com or dial 1-320-310-0922.
Just save.
Yes, I've saved. It's not a matter of saving, Mark. It's a matter of not accidentally deleting it and
no,
then saving.
It's under the same name.
Yeah.
Oh my. You know, I'm just looking at your latest comic here, and it suddenly struck me that the text is very Doonesbury-esque.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Doonesbury and Bloom County. Those were big influences on me when I was growing up.
Yeah, I mean the panels at the top and the everything, the lettering, it really does harken back to that.
Yeah,
that may be one of the things I was groping for, and I was like, wow, this reminds me of something. What is it?
Well, it is hard. It is hard to pull kind of a text cue.
Yeah. Now, do you do all this by hand, or is this all digital, or a combination?
No, I do it all by hand. Do it the old-fashioned way.
Oh my. You're a pro. I can't write anything. I have to have a font.
I am greedy because I want to sell the originals. That's the only. It's pretty much the main reason I'm doing them. If there was no money in it, I would because I actually have a Cintiq. I actually bought it for the first webcomic I tried out. You know, and I bought a font. I was like, this is awesome. I was like, this is great. Just type in what you want and just move the text around. But, I was looking at like Dave Kellett draw Sheldon, and looking at like I remember one day I was like, I wonder what he's selling these originals for. And I went to his site, and it's like, you know, buy this original. It's like sold. I'm like, okay, let's go to the day before. Let's find out that one. It's like sold. And I went back to a whole week. It's like sold. I had to go like a week's back to find one so I could see what he was selling as far. I was like, son of a bitch, I got to get in on this action. You know, if there's people out there willing to buy Sheldons, surely there must be people out there who want to buy some of these. So, yeah, that's why I do it the old-fashioned way.
I had other pressures as well, but I had had enough people ask me if I was selling originals of my crappy comic that it made me think about it more seriously. I was like, okay, it'll take me approximately 6 hours longer.
Do you really think it would take you 6 hours, though?
It does me, because it's a full page complicated mess, and I'm not fast. I've never been fast. Let's be very clear. I'm extraordinarily slow, and I have issues.
And I make far too many mistakes.
Yeah,
I make far too many mistakes with my characters.
No. See, okay, this is where I have a problem with some people and their desire to clean up originals so much. Yeah, the final presentation is one thing, but some people like to see kind of like the process behind that, the sketches, if you still have it there, the little bits that aren't cleaned up. I know Diana takes Diana Nock of Jinxville and Intrepid Girlbot. She takes a mad amount of time cleaning up all these like little things, and is like, I personally don't think she needs to do as much as she does. But I like all those little bits. It feels more organic, more real, more like this is straight from the artist's desk.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
like,
you know,
I just swiped this.
If for my comic, you would have a piece of Bristol board, mm-hmm. and it looked like somebody slathered Bondo on it. That'd be all the whiteout.
One, don't ever use whiteout. But there are things that you can use. I mean, that professional comic artists use. And
like Bondo, that would be.
But it really does. It really does come down to just not using too much of it. If you make a serious error, you know, yeah. But well,
I just
don't
do what I do.
What would you
just,
do?
I just take a piece of paper and draw the correction on it, and then tape that over.
That's the way to do it. That's the old timey way.
That's my. It's midnight, and I got to post this strip, and I made this critical error. And you know what? The hell with it. I'm just going to tape this damn correction on there, and good enough. There we go. Yeah.
How long does it take to do one strip? Let's say.
I'm guessing it would. It takes me about like an hour and a half to 2 hours from start to finish, but I stretch that out about a good 5 hours because I draw while I'm watching TV. So I draw at a snail's pace. I draw a little bit, then I watch TV, draw a little bit. But yeah, it only takes about like 2 hours. And the majority of that is actually doing the boring stuff of doing the borders, getting the guidelines for the lettering, doing the lettering, inking the lettering. A lot of that's just the boring stuff. Very like maybe a quarter that's actually drawing.
You're using like the actual crow quills, or are you using markers, or
I tried using that like crow quills, or even I even tried brushes for a little bit, and I was like, the hell with brushes, these suck. They don't really suck, but I suck at them. That's a better way of putting it.
I'm in the same boat with you there.
That's all I can use is brushes.
Really? Oh god.
Yeah, I can't use pens. They hurt.
I love the look of the brushwork, but yeah.
Yeah, I know. The brushwork, you can get some really great looking lines. Because sometimes I look at my strip and I'll look at like something I'll look at, you know, Bill Watterson's Calvin Hobbes. Like, why don't my ink lines look like that? It's like, well, because he uses a brush, dummy. You know, if you used a brush, you could probably get those kind of lines. But yeah, I just use Faber-Castell artist pens.
Wait, I thought you bought a Cintiq.
Yes.
Well, yeah, but he doesn't use it for this.
I bought it for like a
Are you here?
I'm here, but I'm trying to follow. I guess one of the questions I meant to ask like way early on, there has to be other things you're working on, and I can't find a links page to other stuff that you've done.
Oh, yeah, the other comic I had was called Earth versus Pluto, and I had some website, I had some server problems a while ago, and I didn't know what was going on, and so I shut down Earth versus Pluto. So I think if you look it up, I don't think there's going to be anything there. But I need to get that back up. But
yeah, Pluto always oozes.
I know.
Well, it's not a planet. Okay.
It's a planet.
It's a planetoid.
Got moons, hasn't it? It's a planet.
It barely... I had serious problems with Pluto when I first learned about it in high school.
Well, you would. But look,
you and Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I was like, how is this a planet? Look at its orbit. Look at its goddamn orbit.
It's not a planet. It's a planetoid. Okay, we don't need to have this discussion again. We just don't. I'm not nerd enough for this. I'm astrobiology, not astronomy.
Yeah, take it on one little planet.
And there's nothing alive on Pluto, so I don't care. No.
Oh, okay, never know. You never know.
I do. It's a cold, barren rock in the middle of Pluto. I'm going to go
And so are you!
Maybe what happened when all those Pluto haters got together and said, we hate you, Pluto, you're not a planet anymore, that it was so depressed and sad that all life on it just died.
Well, good.
They left. You never know.
They died of a broken heart. The sun.
Poor Pluto. Well, anyway.
So anyway, God, I have... times I want to apologize to guests. I apologize.
Well, they should do some research before coming on the show.
It's fun because sometimes it's a little bit like I'm not supposed to be listening to this conversation. Like I'm not really part of this call, but somehow my headset picked up like, oh, hey, my headset picked up this call. These three people, they're talking about Pluto.
You know who you got to apologize to is Pluto.
You know, I think what it is this reminds me of every family event I've ever had. Some bizarre niche nerd argument always breaks out in a corner somewhere with everyone.
Well, that's what happens when you go to some family get together and you say Pluto's not a planet. Everyone's going to disagree with you.
Oh, see, no, not mine, because they know.
Oh, it's Tanya. She doesn't think Pluto's a planet. Oh, God.
It's like, you know, you don't mention Crazy Aunt Edna's dentures or something because she'll go on and on and on about it, you know.
I do have to apologize to the live chat room. The live chat room, which we have at webcomicbeacon.com/live, something we've been broadcasting live while recording the show, and we've been doing that for... Well, how many episodes have we got? 136, so I'm going to say at least 130 episodes. Apparently, the settings weren't correct, and they missed the first 20 minutes. This is, Adam Huber? Huber.
Huber.
It's one of the three, I'm sure we'll figure it out.
Of bug at bugcomic.com. This is I'm trying to encourage Mark and Tanya to find people that they want to talk to and bring them on the show. So it's not just me always kind of babbling. Well, I do that anyway, but
encouraging me to find people I want to talk to is so pointless.
Why?
I'm the most antisocial person I know. This is my socialization for the week. This is it.
Okay.
Adam Huber is my new friend. I won't be speaking to anyone else this week. There's the people in my house that I'm fond of them. And then there's the people on the show, and I'm fond of them. And there's the people in the chat room, and I'm fond of them.
Well, and awesome. Then there's people in class, right? Are you fond of them? Don't you take classes?
See, it's rude to call me out like that, just in case any of them are listening. I'm having issues. I'm having issues socializing in the real world, Mark.
Well, Tanya, there's got to be other people that you'd want to talk about, and then you can just try to get me to find them, or get them, or get Mark to get them. You know,
you're asking me to find new friends.
No. It's like people. It's like you read webcomics, don't you? You're familiar with them, right?
I am.
There has to be some people that you'd be like, hey, I'd like to talk to them or pick their brain. And then we the Webcomic Beacon is the vehicle. You know, I did partly create the Webcomic Beacon almost as an excuse to try to get people on there to talk to.
I thought you were going to say girls for a minute there.
I was just going to say, I could always use it as my personal dating pool.
That'd be rude, but it'd be funnier.
You know, I may have to call Pluto and see if Pluto will come on the show, and then what?
Oh, sweet Jesus. I'll tell him right to his face he's not a planet.
I don't think Pluto's going to be talking to us.
Ouch.
He's dead.
Pretty bad.
He's dead. He's a dead planetoid.
When New Horizons flies by, he's going to stick his tongue out at the carrier. Blah!
Take that. That'd be awesome. I'd sell that print. We should go back to talking about bugs.
This is right.
Because it's a really good comic, and I feel like...
Do you think there's bugs on other planets? Or planetoids? Asteroids, maybe?
Me, personally?
Well, I know what you think. You don't think anything exists.
Scopic bugs.
I'm an astrobiologist. I'm going to be an astrobiologist. Of course I think that there's things out there. It would be rather stupid for an astrobiologist who didn't believe in life on other planets.
Except Pluto.
There's a barren rock of crap.
Oh, Jesus.
What does Pluto do
to you?
I don't know. She's a Pluto hater.
She got a question wrong in grade school and it involved Pluto. She's held a grudge ever since.
I'm bitter.
Pluto's not a nanny teacher.
I have nothing against Pluto. Hey, I don't think it's a great target for astrobiologists.
What's the little thing where you like take the first letter of each word and then you try to make a phrase out of it so you remember?
Interplanet Janet. Is that
you'll take the beginning of like the first letter of each planet and then there's like to be a phrase that you say that you remember?
Oh, I know. Mother's very earthy mush. I don't know.
It was like my very elegant mother just sat under Nero's pot or something stupid.
Now it's just under Nero.
I don't even know.
So
Nero fiddled while Pluto
it's
burned.
Called the mnemonic. Chibidikin says so.
Anyway, bugs. We're talking about bugs, people.
So I'm thinking that your comic here, it definitely has the potential, like a XKCD or whatever it is, or an oatmeal or a Saturday morning breakfast. I mean, it really seems like it's one of those comics that could make that huge leap.
Yeah, I'm hoping. Got my fingers crossed.
Remember us when you're, you know, back in the day. Remember the little people here.
Do you do the convention circuit at all?
I haven't yet. I'm still trying to figure out in my head how I can afford that. The idea of flying out to a convention. Because the only convention I have any interest would be Emerald City.
Oh, Emerald City Comic Con is an awesome one.
And... It sounds like it'd be fun, but the idea of flying out there, setting up like an artist alley table, maybe bringing merchandise, trying to sell, it's like, I need to go out there at some point and just do recon. I need to go out there and check out what the booths are like, what the artist alley is like, and see how people are selling their stuff. And
you know, a good way to get your feet wet in this thing is to go to PenguinCon.
PenguinCon
is a smallish convention, and webcomics are like a third of it.
I think. And the rest is like sci-fi.
Now, that's Penguicon?
Penguicon. It actually started out as a Linux convention and turned into more of a geek convention. And now they have a very large webcomic track.
And well, where is it?
It's inexpensive.
Penguicon.org.
Penguicon is in Michigan. It was in Troy, Michigan.
Not far away. Not far away at all, really.
Yeah. and there are a bunch of other things that you can do if you're... this is the informational segment now. That was a horrible segue. if you're interested. And actually running recon at places isn't a bad idea, except a lot of times if you're going to fly out to run recon, that can be a bit challenging because, you know, it's just as expensive to go there without without having a table a lot of times. But Emerald City is a good starter con because they have the kind of the bigger comics are in with the merchants, and then they have this entire artist alley section that's, you know, really kind of up and coming comic artists and web comics. And those tables are much cheaper and so crowded. There's so much foot traffic. It's for me, it was one of when I went to Emerald City, I found it to be probably one of the best setups for new comics was Emerald City.
Awesome. I've heard nothing but good things about Emerald City. San Diego sounds like it's all Hollywood and they kind of begrudgingly put comics in there, but it's all about the next summer blockbuster.
Huge crowds too.
And it's really expensive.
They have an attendance problem and all that sort of stuff. We have some comments in the chat room which are saying, are we talking about which cons are good for web comics? Ross Scott, which I know you have a comic, I think it's called The System if I'm correct, post the link, but he says Connecticon would be one. Intervention Con, which just started, which is going to be at a different date next year and not alongside SPX. And next year says it's going to be one as well. Yeah, The System at systemcomic.com. And those are two others I wanted to mention. But
There's a Houston one now, the Houston Webcomic Meetup.
Then there's New, of course, but that's not really for people to be there. It's like an invite if you're going to be there. But that's another one that's, you know, it's
which
web
is something
heavy
people
anyway.
Should know about San Diego too. You can't just walk up and say, "Hey, I'd like a table."
Yeah.
They go, "Really? Who are you?" The only reason I've ever had a table at San Diego Comic Con is because I'm with Squidworks. Squidworks had a table, and I had the pleasure of sitting there. It was not like they were going to give me a table. That just doesn't happen.
They're too big. They're just too big for the average.
Yeah. It's just far too popular. They didn't know how to compete.
I'd have loved to go to New and meet people there, but I just honestly don't think I have the time or money right now. Next year, I think I would like to go.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Next year, I'm just saying I think I'd like to go. Oh, I want to say another one. The one we just had here in Minnesota. What the hell was it? It was Mix, Minneapolis Indie Expo. Basically had a lot of, like, you know, indie artists there, and it was an expo, not a convention. But there were a lot of webcomicers there. And a lot
that's
of
not far from where you're at, really.
No,
that's
I
not
can
far
make
from
that.
Madison. Yeah, you could do Penguicon, you could do Mix, you could do...
Yeah, Mix
Penguicon
I'd recommend.
Highly recommend.
Anyone within the area, within one at least one state away, I would recommend going to Mix next year. But that's next year.
For everyone who's kind of looking for ways to be able to afford conventions, I highly recommend you check out the FAQ section at Devil's Panties. Jenny Breeden has put up an excellent guide to your first 4 years of web conventions and how to best set yourself up so that you're not spending more money than you're going to make.
If I did that, I wouldn't go.
No. I literally followed her guide when I was really doing the convention circuit. It's been a while since I did that. The first 3 years that I had Betapwn running, I followed her guide. With a few deviations where I was willing to just spend money because I could. And I was surprised. She's really, really on the ball with it, because right where she was saying right about now you should be breaking even is right when I was breaking even, and, you know, right where she said you should be starting to make a little bit of money is where I started to make a little bit of money. So she definitely has a good guide going, so I highly recommend checking that out.
Excellent. I think Bug has the potential for that, certainly.
I think so, too.
It has the potential to...
it is horribly marketable.
It's certainly getting some decent traffic there, too.
If only I had merchandise.
That's okay. Well, you know, according to the breeding guide, you're like a year away. It's fine.
Well, what's next for Bug? I mean, do you have any plans on the horizon? You mentioned you might make a book or things like that.
I probably got enough strips right now to make a book. I need to figure out how to make a book. I've never done that before.
We definitely need to have a show on that because a lot of people are starting to ask that question.
Yeah, I printed up. I went to Transcon. And I found like a little PDF, like how to prepare your files for print. And I printed that off and I was like, oh, awesome. I got a little how to do this. And like the first four pages, I'm like, this might as well be in Chinese. I don't understand anything that they're talking about. They're asking me to make sure to do this and that. And it's like, I need like a mentor or something. I need someone to kind of stand over my shoulder and like watch what I'm doing because I have far too many questions for like one email, you know? So... That's my goal this year is to finally. My hope was to actually before the end of the year was to actually have the book done. That may not happen. But yeah, I'm hoping to actually get a book out. And then people have been asking about T-shirts and stuff, and I've been thinking about. I'm starting to look at different people like around Madison, a lot of other T-shirt manufacturers, and see like and trying to get quotes from them and see how much they'll cost. But I just have. Just a million questions about every you know, some of my friends have said, oh, just make a t-shirt. I'm like, well, that consists of about 10,000 questions that I have no answers for.
That's the worst idea.
I mean, there's always print on demand, but
I thought about that, but I just feel that I am confident enough in Bug that I will in the long run make more money on the books and the merchandise if I make it myself. You know, I might print off, you know, 1,000 books and maybe I'll sell, you know, 30, you know, in the first like few months and then no one buys them. I was like, you know what? They'll eventually sell. Eventually the orders will come in, you know? So print on demand just sounds like, I don't know. It doesn't sound like there's any money really in it, you know? Yeah, as nice as it is that there's, that you just, give them the stuff, and then they
do all the product for it. Tends to be a bit overpriced to begin with, which lowers your market.
Yeah, exactly.
And then what you're getting back is this kind of ridiculously small percentage in order to keep it even vaguely affordable. I'm not a big fan of print-on-demand these days since I realized
we need an alternative.
Freaking cheap you can print the.
We need to know where you're going to do this. So we need to have a resources show and talk about these alternatives. And Tanya, I'm going to kind of put you in charge of that.
Since
you seem to know.
We did a show not long ago. We were talking about yearbook publishers and things like that.
But that's But that's only one thing. Yeah.
You know. Yeah. And there's actually a few things that I've kind of wanted to compile in that area. Okay. So. It would make sense to put all that somewhere.
Because
I feel like I get these kind of questions a lot. I still get emails from people every once in a while that'll ask questions that I kind of assume are common knowledge, and they're not. It's like you were saying when you were reading through the instructions, you know, for printing your stuff, and it's all in another language. You have no clue what they're talking about. And I guess I hadn't realized that it was that big of an issue because I've had Squidworks, because I'm part of this Squidworks as a comic co-op in Denver, that there's like this little pool of just crazy information that I've been plugged into for so long that I forget that I didn't know those things before. It's like, oh, before you got hooked up with like 25 professional artists, you had no freaking clue what you were doing. Well, yeah, because it's a different kind of environment, so you kind of feel like you're just chatting with your friends, and, well, yes, they are, but, oh, by the way, you know, it's Stan Yen, who makes a living out of comics, and, you know, Lonnie Allen, who does these incredibly deep pieces, and you kind of forget, and you know, John Peters, and...
Yeah.
So
anyway,
I need to pick their brains and put it up on
So, Tanya, you are in charge of that.
Very
good. And I'd like to, yeah. I'd like to, if you know, let me know what you need. I'd like to put something together November, if possible.
I'll see what I can do.
Okay. I mean, that's 2 months of time, so.
Well, yeah, but I'm busy trying to die, so.
Okay, well, I'll, December
give me
maybe
a bit
then.
Of leeway here.
Then maybe December, but.
Okay, thanks.
So anyway, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, a little bit more.
More stuff. More things and stuff.
See the signs. When a cop pulled me over, he asked me, was I blind? I got bugs on my window. You know I can't see. Somebody get me some blue stuff. Wash these windows for me. Sights, driving all day and half of the night, bugs on my window. You know that ain't right. Somebody get me some blue stuff. Oh, there's gonna be a fight.
That was Bugs by The Detonators at musicalley.com by Mevio.
I don't know.
Issues. I have issues.
So we also need to do a show on con presence.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We were going to do that.
So
we?
Tanya, do you think you know enough, or do we have to go find somebody?
We're going to have Megan
I think we need to call. I think we can have a couple people we can call in. Megan definitely has con presence. Jenny Breeden could sell paper bags. She's amazing.
I'll give her some of my comics then. She can.
Spike. Spike of Templar, Arizona. Killer con presence. She's a major salesperson.
I am trying to get her on the show, but she. I know. I feel bad about bothering her on Twitter, but she basically told me that I need to bother her on Twitter. It's because, you know, she came to Mix, and I was talking to her, and I think I was told this story before. I was talking to her, I asked if she'd like to be on the show and everything. And because I said I've emailed her, she said, "Oh, I never look at my email." And so I was like, "You're going to have to get me on Twitter or something like that." And then there was like, So you'd be interested to be on it? She's like, yeah. And, can you be on, sometime in September? She's like, no. She was like all busy with conventions and stuff, so I was like, I hate bothering people on Twitter. I don't want to be like, I'm clamoring.
You need to bother her. I mean, first of all, here's what you need to remember about people like Spike, who is, you know, absolutely professionally, extraordinarily busy, and she's a wealth of information. If she says your best bet is to bother me on Twitter, that's a request.
Your best bet's to bother you on Twitter.
Bother her on Twitter. She said, like, that's where to go. So,
yeah. I mean, we had a great conversation at Mix about stuff, and I know I can ask her a ton of stuff, and it'd be great to. It'd have to be like a long show, I think, just because.
Well, and actually, here's for people out there, any webcomic artist, if you are not following Spike on Twitter of Templar Arizona, you need to, because every once in a while she'll just pop out like this incredibly useful little comment. I favorite her freaking posts and save them. One of the best ones that I don't know why it had not occurred to me, it just had not, for people who do the convention circuit, if you're out there, you're at a convention, you didn't sell all of your stuff, you don't want to haul those 4 or 5 extra books back, there are comic shops in the area. Go to the comic shop, ask them to sell it. Then you don't have to drag your stuff back on the plane, and you've got your name out in a whole new area to people who didn't, you know, maybe didn't even come to the convention. It's a brilliant idea. And it was just like a little toss-off comment.
Excellent. What's her Twitter name?
Now I need to look it up.
Iron_Spike.
Yeah, I thought so, but I wasn't sure about the scoring. But yeah, iron_Spike. And she's also a wealth of opinion. she's a good one. Alrighty. And I guess that's my biggest thing, you know, when we're talking about con presence, we just need to grab who we can grab, because people with con presence are busy. They're at conventions because they're making money there. So,
we also got to get Melissa on the show to talk about proper coloring as well.
Yes,
lots of things to do. Gosh.
Lots of stuff to do and people to schedule, and all sorts of crazy things.
Did we even mention that this is 24-hour comic weekend?
Yeah,
is that this weekend?
It was yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It started yesterday.
But personally, anytime during October, I would say you're fine.
I was listening to an old podcast of Webcomics Weekly, and they were talking about the 24-hour comics day. I was like, I wonder when that is. That'd be kind of fun to use that as like an excuse to do like a buffer, you know.
Yesterday.
All right. I'll wait another year. Yeah, that's fine.
Well, do it anytime during October. I recommend
if you can find a group to do it with a group. It definitely helps motivation, and there's usually free food, which is never bad.
See, the problem I have with 24-hour comics day is, like, if I was going to do a buffer, I would need to write all the strips ahead of time, because it'd be like, all right, ready, go, and everyone would be drawn. I'd just be sitting there.
You can't do that.
Wall, trying to think of a joke, you know.
Actually, that's not it. A lot of times, that's what you end up with, is a lot of people just sitting there because, you know, most you're not supposed to come with an idea of what you're going to write about either. You're not supposed to have the script ahead of time either. So, you know, and
well,
a
that's
lot of
for people who are actually producing like a whole standalone comic. I was kind of approaching it from the angle of like, well, I'm not going to make my own comic, but what I'm going to do is
make a buffer.
I'm going to take Bug and I'm going to do like, you know, 24 hours worth of Bug strips and try and get like a month ahead or something, you know?
And I fully encourage that because it can be very useful. it can be very useful. What are you going off on? How I say words?
It sounded like you were trying to segue.
I am trying to segue because it is the third segment, thus the news. And so I just got to say this episode of the Webcomic Beacon is brought to you in part by Rampage Network, particularly Villains Club at villainsclub.rampagenetwork.net, by which is also celebrating its fourth year, as we're going to be talking about milestones now. So congratulations on 4 years. Also, Sailor Sun at sailorsun.org has hit its 500th comic. And this isn't a milestone. Oh, yes, we do have the milestone. The Best Effect has broken 100 updates, and I don't have the actual link right here. Oh, the-best-effect.de. Congratulations on your milestones. And yes?
I don't know if we mentioned this last week or not. Slightly off topic by Dave Adams. 400 comics. Just hit 400 comics. Slightly off topic.
Alrighty. Congratulations. It's on topic. It might be a little bit late, but it's on topic still.
Apparently, Claviger? I don't know. I don't know this comic.
I'm sorry, what?
Claviger? Claviger on Girl-O-Matic ended this week.
Well, alrighty. We'll look that up and post the link later.
It was in the chat room.
It was in the chat room. There you go. And you can also...
Oh. John Peters. Gypsy.
What? Was it Gypsy?
5 years ago yesterday. 5 years of Gypsy Comics as of yesterday.
Somebody says we should get all of Squidworks on the Beacon. Didn't we try that one time?
No, we had one person. We had two people. We had Al on the Beacon talking about file formats, and we've had Stan on the Beacon talking about Stan. He talks a little bit about Squidworks and a little bit about basically self-publication. That's what we had Stan on for. But getting all of the Beacon on, or getting all of the Squidworks on the Beacon would be... difficult at best.
A hydra. And many
why
heads.
you meet horribly. When we record. So
we meet once a month, but the problem is there's 30 people in a room.
Oh really?
And they're all talking about, well, I mean, usually boobs. But there's 30 people in a room and they're all talking kind of in different little pods, and it would be difficult to get that many people.
Okay, well, like that many, yeah. I mean, I only like to go for max, like maybe four people.
but anyway.
But anyway, some additional news. If anybody has any questions about advertising or has a milestone, you can email webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Otherwise, almost anything you could ask us is found on the website, particularly under the About Us section, if you want to know some extra goodies and tidbits. Let's see here. We also have... Well, okay, I haven't done this for a while because... but this week on our Project Wonderful ads, we have, hang on, let me hard refresh because nothing's showing up. But pgtmedia.com is advertising their webcomics, What's Cooking? Little thing that the idea that Mark came up with a couple years ago about putting together a webcomic cookbook. Well, that didn't work out here. But it looks like Kurt is going to be working it out over there, and he's going to get some... he's already got some people behind it.
Which is great.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be for charity now, too. So go ahead and check that out at tgtmedia.com, and we'll get a more specific link. Right now on our webcomic... Well, we also have Tree Lobsters is advertising.
Yay!
Is on our... Project Wonderful ads on the site, and that's at treelobsters.com. And
sorry, I'm giving some mad love to tree lobsters.
I understand. Or shrub lobsters, as they probably are. Just because I had to clarify something. You know. Or webcomics, we pod faded, as. Adam was mentioning before. looking for... Zoe Robinson was saying, I need to find more webcomic podcasts. And because she's burning through the archives of ours and webcomics, we pod faded. And so she's running out of things to... Because she works on stuff every day. So it's like, well, we can't go more than what we're doing. But one thing I'd like to try to do in the future is try to do a little bit... I don't want to copy outright... copy or change copy somebody else's webcomic podcast or drastically change what the webcomic Beacon does, because I love the format, but adding little spotlight minisodes, so to speak, to get people on, which we have no particular topic for, and not sure if we can pad out a whole show for, but we still want to talk to them. And we should do that. And I'm
you remind me of
that.
My great aunt.
Yeah?
There's like, well, I mean, other than the fact that you're alive.
I'm dead inside.
She had this way of like tossing comments that if you thought about them long enough sounded like horrible, horrible insults. Like, we want to have some people on that, you know, we can't pad out a whole episode with. But well, anyway.
No, I mean, come like, on. Sometimes you just.
Some people who are important, but just not that important.
Hey, I'm being honest. We need more transparency in webcomic podcasting these days.
Why is everyone who's being a douche suddenly going, oh, I'm just being transparent. I'm just being honest. Being a douche.
No, I mean, honestly, sometimes there's people that you can't see a whole episode as long as we talk for a show. And it's also a matter of marketing, because you can't always just blab on for an hour, hour and a half about whatever each week. We could easily do it, yeah. But if you're trying to market your podcast to get a wider audience, you got to have content. And I'm being honest, you know, that's why I've been trying to expand the show this year.
Because it's so much fun to watch you defend yourself.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah.
So anyway,
anyway.
Is it almost over? Are we done?
I okay. Know,
so
I
there's like all these things I've been wanting to try to say, just because it's been. I feel like it's been a while since I've actually said stuff about like other things that are kind of mattering. Okay, for several episodes now, we've been doing music from musicalley.com, grabbing some pod-safe music, injecting it into the show during the breaks. Haven't heard absolutely any comment on them whatsoever, so I assume they're fine. So. It's just a little. It's like, well, I try to find a song from here that kind of matches what we talk about on the show, and I figure, hey, this will be cool. This will be fun. People will like this, and nothing. So, I don't know.
I don't know.
No,
sometimes
I'm not.
I think
laughing.
That if people aren't responding, then it's probably good. Typically, you get the more comments out of "this is shite" than you do. When you're doing something right, they're like, oh, well, they don't need me to comment. They're probably getting millions of emails telling them how amazing they are. No.
You know, I only say that I get a lot of emails just...
just lying? What happened to Transparency Fest?
No, just, you know, I do get a lot of emails. They're not always from people, but...
Sometimes they're from spam bots, I guess.
Wow. I was just going with the general. Typically, people are more likely to email you if they have something to complain about than to just telling you, you know, that you're doing a great job.
It's usually just the flat-out press releases I ignore, where it's like, do you listen to the show? Do you know what we talk about? You know, it's like, you know, I can understand you got your little press release and everything like that, but don't always expect me to just reply. It's like, oh, yeah, okay. No, we don't do reviews. And, you know, we used to get, like, requests for reviews after I stopped doing reviews, because they're listening through the archives and they come across an episode, you know, and I'll just let them know. We kind of stopped doing that. But.
Well, anyway.
Yeah, anyway. So, bugs.
Show. Oh, boy.
Bugs. Stop. Okay. No.
Go read Bug. Yeah. It's a good comic.
So let's see.
And it makes more sense than we do, which is really kind of frightening in a delightful way.
I hope. All right. So next week we do not have a show unless Mark and I decide to do something. We'll let you know. Otherwise, you know, typically the second Sunday of the month we have off, so we typically have 3 to 4 episodes a month, which is pretty damn good, I think, compared to webcomics we pod faded. But I'm sorry.
What is the deal with the pod faded?
Well, because they did. They're not Webcomics Weekly. I'm sorry, it's in your name. You fail. yeah, they succeed in other ways, but not in the podcast.
Anyway. They succeed in all the important ways, just not the...
just well, not the podcast. Well, I just find the name hypocritical now. So I have to make fun of it because we have been pretty much been weekly. But anywho, yeah,
but you, Adam, thanks so much for coming.
Sorry, Melissa in the chat room says, if Fess is ranting and nobody is around to hear, does he make a point?
Oh, does that, he make a point if anyone is around? I think.
Adam, thanks very much for coming on the show.
It's been my pleasure.
Are you sure?
Most of it, sure.
For most of it. No, it's fun to kind of listen in on this little bizarre conversation that you guys have.
I was like, are you? Because
I really
here?
Feel like I shouldn't be listening, but I get the I get this little chance to listen to this little conversation. It's been fun.
Like well, we're glad that we could help you with your voyeuristic tendencies.
Like the old wireless phones where you could pick them up on an AM radio and listen into people's conversations.
I would do that all the time when I was a kid.
I used to walk around the neighborhood with my first cell phone because it would pick up people's conversations. Yeah,
I never heard any good juicy gossip though. I heard a lot.
No,
you never hear anything good on those things. It's always just a boring conversation. It's never like phone sex. Or it's never people breaking up over the phone or anything.
I heard
it was
a lot
always
of
me trying to figure
actually,
out whether or not I was going to be in
had,
trouble.
Like a stressful neighborhood or something. There was a lot of people screaming at each other.
Wonderful. This has been Fess of Fessworks.com.
This is Tanya of DaisiesandShit.com.
And this is Mark of AutumnLake.com.
And Adam,
go.
Is this my part? My cue? And this has been Adam Huber from Bug at BugComic.com.
BugComic.com.
That was I'll change the domain name.
Wow.
I did stutter, but you know what? Screw it. I'll just change the domain name.
Well, I love you. That was funny.
That's all for this week. Thanks to everybody in the chat room. Be sure to tune in next time when we talk about more stuff that you probably don't care about.
That's all for now. Tune in next time at webcomicbeacon.com.
Adam.
Oh, is he still here? Hi. How's it going?
Should I have left?
No, keep being a voyeur. Uh-huh. I'm going to hit on Mark. Everything will devolve into a horrible mess, like drinking after Christmas Eve.